This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And one of our favorite guests, Roy Fletcher, is with us, the political consultant from Louisiana who's handled candidates far and wide. And it's a big time in American politics this week. The Iowa caucuses tonight. The State of the Union tomorrow night. And the Trump acquittal coming on Thursday in the United States Senate.
And then, of course, Hillary announcing for vice president on Thursday. No, I'm joking.
For vice president?
No, I'm joking. Well, that seems to be the rumor du jour out there. Well, she wants to be vice president.
Vice president, well.
Whatever.
Okay. All right. Well, 877-217-5757. Before we get there, I wanted to talk with Roy, who at the tender age of 44 had his epiphany. It took Cassidy and Kennedy until their 50s, and it took Trump until his 60s to become Republicans after being lifelong Democrats.
Yes.
But at 44, you and Mike Foster and Pat Bergeron, and you all went down to the courthouse, I think, on the same day.
No, the governor went by himself. He was in St. Mary Parish.
But you went in East Baton Rouge.
I went a little bit later.
And he was not the governor then.
No.
He was state senator. About to be governor because of the ads that Roy Fletcher was presenting, Christian, conservative, business owner, gun owner, that worked. It worked, and it's become boilerplate for conservative candidates throughout the state and the country to tout those credentials. But in the South, that was 1995. Here we are in 2020, and the South is largely Republican. As far as statewide offices, and all 11 states of the SEC went for Donald John Trump. His popularity in this region was on display in vivid detail 3 weeks ago in the Superdome when the biggest, thunderous, most impressive ovation of the night came when Donald Trump cascaded across the carpet with First Lady, and the LSU and Clemson fans were in unison yelling, USA, USA, all for the Donald. And this is a region that in 1976, every one of those states went for James Earl Carter against Gerald Ford. What happened, Roy Fletcher?
I think that as the Democrats kind of continued to move a little, remember, Bill Clinton was able to break that up to some extent. But as the Democrats moved toward becoming more liberal, nationally, it affected their ability to win elections in the South, and the South became more suburban. You know, we became a little bit more homogenized with the rest of the country, and I think that between those two things, you saw a situation where it became a solid South almost. Now, Doug Jones in Alabama and John Bel Edwards in Louisiana kind of break that up.
Well, and both of them were elected courtesy of a weaker Republican opponent.
Correct.
David Bitter and Roy Moore.
That's correct.
Have some
that's correct.
In common, by the
that's
way.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
If not for them, they would never have gotten
if
where
not,
they are.
There's an old song, If Not For You.
Olivia Newton-John, 1973, I think.
Is that right?
If Not For You, yeah.
You know who wrote it? I think it was George Harrison.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did it first.
Yeah.
She made it a bigger hit. You're right. The Beatles did it, I think.
Yeah, they
okay.
did.
Yeah, okay. All right. 877-217-5757 for Roy Fletcher. But in other parts of the country, it's about a 60-40 split. There's your phone, Roy. I think you need silence that
thing. I apologize.
We're on the radio.
I apologize.
It's about a 60-40 split, whites to blacks white voting as far as Republican to Democrat.
Yes.
Whites being 60, white Republicans being 60, white Democrats being 40%. But in the South, it's like 80 to 20 or 85 to 15.
Yeah, it can get as high as 85 to 15.
And in Obama's case, a few times like 87 to 13.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
You would want to argue that maybe race is a big component of it. But I just think that what I see is that it has just become much more conservative and culturally conservative. And not necessarily economically conservative, but very culturally conservative. And that was in 95. it's interesting, in 94, I had handled a bunch of Democrats in the Midwest and the South and got my butt kicked all over
the midterm election.
Yeah, and I started learning from that. Hey, these guys are on this cultural thing that's really pretty good. And so Foster was my first chance to use that. And that was what he really ran on, was as sort of a business guy. But culturally, he's a conservative. He has our values. And all over the South, that has resonated tremendously. And that deals with our culture. That deals with our religious nature. All of that plays into it. And as the country faced more and more sort of choices with respect to cultural issues, that sort of solidified the South more and more and more. And now in the suburban areas, you find more of the economic conservatives. But I will say this, in Louisiana, in the last election, 2019, there you could see a little bit of purpling of some of these suburban areas. Not a lot, but some.
Jefferson
Parish is the obvious choice.
Democratic stronghold.
Yep.
And Baton Rouge has become more blue. Woody Jenkins beat Mary Landrieu here in 96.
He couldn't do it today.
No, he couldn't do it.
He absolutely
John Bell Edwards won by over 50,000 votes.
Yeah. I mean, as I call Baton Rouge the Madison, Wisconsin of the South. I mean, Deep South.
Well,
anyway.
In some ways, you're right. But, of course, it has a substantial African-American population, which
Correct.
Votes Democratic overwhelmingly. And then there's the university crowd.
Yep.
And
that's right. And both university crowds and then state government and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of reasons.
They tend to lean left.
Yes. And yes, they do tend to lean left.
So it's fertile territory in this city for a Democrat to win, but not in the state, which has become more red, and,
yes.
and that's going to be the case for a long while. Now, I recall back in 1991 when Clarence Thomas was approved as a Supreme Court Justice, the vote was 52-48, and the two U.S. Senators, Democrats from Louisiana, Johnston and Breaux, both voted to confirm Clarence Thomas.
That's correct.
And they were very pleased that they had not cast the deciding votes, because even if both of them had gone and it had been 50-50, Dan Quayle would have
yes.
cast the deciding vote for Thomas. So they were not the reason that Clarence Thomas got on the high court. But on this vote last Friday, 51-49, Cassidy and Kennedy did cast the deciding votes.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it that way. They did cast. Now, clearly, Lamar Alexander was sort of the guy who made the difference in this thing. But yeah, I mean, you look at it that way. They did cast the deciding votes, and never was there any doubt how they were going to vote. I think that's a fair statement.
No.
I think that maybe Kennedy might made a few little noises about, but in the end, you knew where he was going to be. You knew where he was going to be.
I don't think there's any doubt.
No.
And he's the one who said, it must suck to be that dumb
when yeah.
Nancy Pelosi began the impeachment process.
Right,
so
right,
I think we knew where he
where,
was going
We knew
to be.
Where he was going to go. But I do think that there was a little bit playing with the witness thing a little bit. I think he was trying to give himself a little wiggle room.
Well, you remember him when you represented him. He was yeah. a Democrat.
Yes. Yes, he was very much of a Democrat in 99 when he ran for treasurer. And then in 04, he was even more of a Democrat
when he ran
for the U.S. Senate.
Yeah. And ran against Chris John, the left of Chris John.
That's correct. And but he quickly learned his lesson, and by 2006, he had moved to the Republicans and was running for the Senate again. But still,
well, in 2006, John Neely Kennedy was 55 years old, so it's hard for him to say all these years as a Democrat were a youthful indiscretion.
Yeah, and you know what, Jim? I think that there's a real argument to be made, and I've been thinking about writing I almost want to write a book on this, that if you take the Democratic Party in the 70s and 80s, and you compare that to the Trump agenda today, there is a very close similarity between what the Democrats were saying then and what Trump is saying now.
What some Democrats were saying, right?
Well, on trade, Richard Gepel. Well, I mean, they were very.
I agree. Well, on NAFTA, most of the Democrats voted against it.
Yes, absolutely.
On trade, you're right.
Yeah, and there's some other. I was picking them out the other night, and there's like three or four things that kind of are interesting in that regard. And so I do think that there is a you can sort of see the Republicans, the Democrats through the years come to a position where it's not really different. It's still the same in some ways.
877-217-5757 or talk at talklouisiana.org for Roy Fletcher. We're going to spend some more time with this fine gentleman. We'll return and get his pearls of wisdom on the American political landscape after this 90-second timeout on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Roy Fletcher, political consultant, former Democrat turned Republican who still works on both sides of the aisle on occasion, but in Louisiana, most of the statewide and national players are Republicans. Tonight is caucus time in Iowa and in the Democratic fold, which is where the race is in the latest polls. Bernie Sanders, 24, Joe Biden, 20, Pete Buttigieg, 16.4, Elizabeth Warren, 15.6, Amy Klobuchar, 8.6. That's the poll in Iowa that precedes the voting today and tonight. We'll find out who wins Iowa, which sometimes is a bellwether, sometimes is not. The betting odds in Las Vegas for the Democratic nomination: Bernie Sanders, 39.8%, Joe Biden, 33%, Michael Bloomberg, 15.9%. And of course, Donald Trump is taking a close look at his fellow New Yorker, the former mayor Bloomberg, who has more money than does Donald Trump, and is taking it to the president. And now they're taking very personal shots at one another, Trump calling Bloomberg short and Bloomberg calling him fat. Roy Fletcher, what do you think?
Mini Mike. Well, I mean, yesterday Trump kind of just dominated that whole thing. He put that tag on him really pretty good, and Trump is really good at that. But I do think that in the Iowa caucus, I think that Bernie Sanders will run better than what that poll says, in fact. I think he's that's a state made for the kind of politics that Bernie Sanders plays, very organizationally oriented, et cetera. The real disappointment in Iowa, I think, would be Elizabeth Warren, who has dropped relatively dramatically up there in the last 3-4 months, and her campaign seems to run out of steam. Now, the odds in Las Vegas, I happen to agree with them, but I think I would put Bloomberg even closer than 15%. I think that his money's going to talk sooner or later. And probably Super Tuesday, and he'll have a fighting chance.
Well, and he wants Warren to stay in the race because she siphons votes from Bernie,
absolutely,
who is not a Democrat, by the way. The Republicans would never tolerate this.
Well, it's Trump. Trump put him in his party last night. Bernie's a communist.
That's what he called him. A communist.
Okay. A communist.
Okay. I remember when actually, this was before my time, but when Hale Boggs was running against Earl Long many years ago.
That's hard to believe that he ran against Earl Long.
Hale was accused of being a communist, and Earl Long said, "I correct that. Hale is not a communist. He's a Catholic." 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Roy Fletcher.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, by the end of the decade, according to the Washington Post, the national debt will be 95% of gross domestic product. The Congressional Budget Office said we have trillion-dollar-plus deficits for as far as the eye could see. Social Security and Medicare will go into crisis soon because George W. Bush raided Social Security and Medicare funds. And
what's your
President
question,
Trump wants David? More tax cuts if reelected. If fiscal insanity were an impeachable offense, Trump would be impeached.
Well, he wouldn't be the only one through the years. So let's just square that away. And the interesting part of this is that is that the problem is not necessarily on the revenue side, because the revenues have gone up fairly substantially, as always predicted by sort of supply side economics. The problem is that spending goes up, and it just continues to go up. And he touched on a couple of reasons.
Well, Bill Clinton but raised my taxes Social Security. And left us with a surplus.
That's
Donald
true.
Trump cut
no,
taxes, and the deficit's going up and away.
There's no question.
Okay. Philip in Lafayette says, Roy, I'm curious about the evolution of the term rhino, an accusation often lofted at longstanding mainstream Republicans and suspiciously converted Democrats by the most conservative members of the GOP. When did it start? By whom does the accusation still
resonate?
You
know, I've thought about that, and I don't remember when it started. I became aware of it like sometime around Tea Party time, and so I think it came sort of out of that movement. And the rhino thing, of course, means Republican in name only. Now there's Dino or whatever you want to call it, Democrat name only, but there's only a few of them.
John Milkovich.
Yeah, John Milkovich. That's right. He got beat. It refers, as he says, to sort of establishment type Republicans. And it's interesting that he brings it up, because one of the big rhinos in the world was Bill Kristol, who this weekend announced that I'm now a Democrat for a while.
He's actually gone there. Completed the mission.
Yes, he.
But he was a Clinton hater.
Yeah, he was a Clinton.
Now he's a Trump hater.
Yeah, now he's a Trump hater. So, you know, whatever. Maybe he just don't like
the
hair.
He was in favor of the Iraqi war, too.
Yes, he very much in favor of the Iraqi war.
Yeah, he was on the air with yours truly, and he was wrong about that. And
one of the things that really separated him from Bill Kristol from the sort of the populist movement in the Republican Party was exactly that issue. Because, I mean, they're anti-globalist. I mean, and they viewed Kristol's whole thing on that was all about globalism, et cetera.
877-217-5757, Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on the air with Roy Fletcher.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, Roy. Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, since my question is this: since we know that the Republicans are not going to, put Trump out of office, I mean he's going to stay in office but still be impeached, and more information comes out about what really happened. Do you think that's going to hurt his chances of reelection or help them?
I mean, you got to think that it won't help him. On the other hand, the question is: will it hurt him? And we've gone through this impeachment thing, and, I mean, his numbers have improved. And I think that the point being there is that I don't think people are listening to this. I think they view it very much in a partisan way. The Democrats think that it's the end of the world. The Republicans view it as, I don't care, yawn. And so, which is the way one of the major polling companies has wrote an article on it about 3 years ago and said, no matter what the issue is, people, no matter even where you're at in a classroom or whatever the case may be, things are viewed through partisan lenses, period. Life is almost viewed through partisan lenses now.
Well, when I was a kid, and I'm just a few years behind Roy, I remember reading a column many
52?
Years ago. I remember reading a column, Roy, and they said you could find out how a person stands on just about everything by just asking their opinion about Muhammad Ali. And they were right.
They were right.
And now you can find out about how a person stands on everything by
what's
asking
your party?
Donald Trump.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right, because you can predict their party just by when you ask them and they tell you. Absolutely. No question about that. I guess we have to kind of no independent types, but still.
Well, and there's still more Democrats in Louisiana than there are Republicans.
Yes.
But yet Republicans are winning elections because many of those Democrats, the white ones that are remaining, are often voting Republican.
Yes.
But something compels them to stay Democrats, and I think it's probably a family tradition.
Maybe.
Remember Randy Ewing?
Yes.
Remember him?
Yes.
He was a conservative Democrat who might have been governor if he had run as a Republican.
Could have been.
But he supposedly made a vow when his father died that he would never switch to Republican.
But I'll waste your money.
But I remember he was a very good statesman. Looked the part. Looked like he came out of central casting.
Yeah,
and when he ran against your guy Buddy Leach and Richard Ayoub and Kathleen Blanco and Bobby Jindal in the year of 2003. He finished fifth.
As the unity candidate. I said so much for that.
And a lot of these university types supported him.
Yeah, oh yeah, he did really well.
Fifth place.
He did really well around, south of just LSU campus there.
877-217-5757. We'll spend a few more minutes with Roy Fletcher when we return, and we're slated to hear from Jensen Moore, the professor at the University of Oklahoma, back after this time out on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And Roy Fletcher with us for a bit longer, the esteemed political consultant who, as I stated, is one of the few political consultants left in the country who occasionally will represent a Democrat as a Republican, and it's the same way on the other side. Ray Strother, who's been with us, Roy's former partner, paid a brutal price when he represented Buddy Romer as a Republican.
Yes, he did.
Democratic brothers and sisters in the political consulting business and in Congress, they blackballed him for a while.
Yes, they did.
But you do that.
I've been blackballed, too.
I know. In fact, David Bruce Vitter didn't like you a lot.
Let's put it this way. If there was any word that would not describe it would be like at all.
And he ultimately lost probably because he did not cultivate some people who would have been on his side.
Yes.
You know, Roy Fletcher, you're not a fool. You would have been in his camp.
Well, of course. I mean, you know.
You're a Republican, and he was the Republican candidate.
Exactly. So, but that's another story for another day, you know, Jimmy.
All right. Rob near LSU, you'll be our final caller for Roy Fletcher. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. I just had a question. Whatever happened to Karl Rove and Grover Norquist?
They have been suspiciously quiet of late.
Every now and then you'll see Karl with an article or column in the Wall Street Journal or something like that, or be on Fox. But, you know, that's a really great question about Grover Norquist. He was banished, and I don't know where he is.
You don't hear much.
You don't hear anything about him anymore. And very odd. I don't even see his, his pledge anymore, even considered.
Well, some of these guys do go away, like Ross Perot. He died last year. But before that, for 20 years, he was a non-entity, and he was a guy who was everywhere for a while.
Yeah. Ross was the interesting thing about you bringing him up. My son-in-law works for their conglomerate in Dallas, and the old man he worked almost to the day he died and built a hell of a business up there in all kinds of areas. He did a lot for Dallas, a lot.
Well, Ross Perot was a successful businessman.
Yes,
there's
he
no
was.
Doubt. And he made a big impact on America.
He made a huge impact. In fact, I would argue he was the first Trump. He tapped that populist base in America in a way that you could just see it if you were paying attention in 92.
All right. Well, thank you, Roy Fletcher. It's always a pleasure. Let's talk again soon. It is an election year. Who wins Iowa tonight?
Bernie Sanders. I think by 5 or 6 points more than 24.
Who wins the Democratic nomination? Your prediction right now.
Bernie Sanders. Yeah, I think that's they may try to cheat him out of it. He may get another house.
Tracy, one of our frequent emailers, says that the ideal running mate for Bernie would be John Bell Edwards.
Not a bad choice.
That would give him some cover, wouldn't it?
He's going to need some.
Thank you, Roy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.